To be rich in what matters to God. Maybe you've heard me tell this story before, but when I had first moved to Italy, we had to do language school in Siena. And I was just getting to know the other seminarians who were there. And there was one guy, I really liked him, Nick. He was a Jerry Seinfeld sort of character. And he always made me laugh. And we were getting used to like these hot summer days in Italy and everything that went with that. And for anybody who's traveled the world, bathrooms can sometimes be a commodity. It's like, I need to go, but I don't know where to go. So in Italy, you would have to pay to use a public restroom. So he's telling me this story on the way back home where we were living. And he pays a euro to go and use this bathroom. And as he tells the story, he goes, I go in this bathroom and there's no toilet seat. It's like, why should I feel entitled to a toilet seat? And I'm like, why should you feel entitled to a toilet seat? Like, it was so funny in the moment. I'm like, dude, what's going on right now? But when we go into a bathroom, you expect that there would be a toilet seat. And he's thinking to himself, well, this isn't fair. But at the same time, it's like, why do I expect that? Why can't I just go to the bathroom in peace and move on with my life? Like, he was so flummoxed by the whole experience. He's like, why should I feel entitled to a toilet seat? And we come to have these expectations about what life is going to be like. Children, from their earliest moments, one of the first things that they learn how to say is, it's not fair. You know, like, they get a cookie, they get a Capri Sun, and I don't get any. It's not fair. And there's this beautiful sense of justice within each of us. Like, we have this sense of, not that I just deserve this, but out of a place of entitlement, but something's amiss, something's off here. And so what the Lord brings to our mind today is this insatiable nature of the human heart, that we're always desiring, always wanting more and more and more. And there's something so good in that. This is how God has created us. He's created us for himself, God who is infinite, and that we're capable of receiving the infinite. But that desire, that want for more and more and more can get distorted so quickly into material things, into physical possessions, into relationships that maybe are outside of our bounds. And this greed and covetousness grows in our heart. St. Paul said in the second reading, this greed which is idolatry. Greed which is idolatry, that I'm placing something above God. That this thing that I desire has become the anchor for my soul. So long as I have it, I feel safe, I feel secure. And for each of us, it's a different thing. There's seven deadly sins. All of us have one that peak at a certain time, but in certain ways, our hearts go to this or to that. So this insatiable nature of the human heart. And Jesus gives us two scenes in the gospel according to Luke. A gentleman, someone from the crowd comes up to him and says, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, which means he's been slighted in some way. Some of the best times happen at a person's death. It can be really beautiful. But some of the worst times also happen, especially around money. And if this person feels slighted that his brother all of a sudden has more inheritance, there's this part of him says, that's not fair. And that's absolutely true. It could be absolutely right. But Jesus is going to instruct him, take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. That maybe you've been holding on too tightly to these things that you want. But one's life doesn't just consist in these, that we have to take an eternal perspective. And then the second scene, Jesus tells a parable, a rich man who had a bountiful harvest, and his harvest keeps growing and growing and amassing and amassing. He says, I can't contain all this anymore. What should I do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build larger ones, which is an image of Solomon from the Old Testament, the man who was supposed to be the epitome of wisdom, but then Solomon's greed grows too big, and his kingdom will fall because of it. I'm going to tear down my barns and build larger ones so that one day I can put my feet up, I can rest, I can eat, I can drink, and I can be merry. And at the end of the parable, Jesus gives us the point that as he finally amasses all of these goods, God is going to say to him, tonight, your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus, it will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. There's a part here, and this is the tension of the gospel. There's a part here where we just hear Jesus saying, the love of money is the root of all evil at the end of the day. Jesus saying, don't hold on to earthly possessions. But I could say that, but I don't know if our hearts are always convinced. The tension of the gospel is, what is Jesus actually inviting me to? And what I want to know is, what's in Jesus' heart? What does matter to God? What riches matter to God? What does it mean for us to be devoted to him, to be rich in what matters to the Lord? And I think of Ash Wednesday. All of you stream forward to receive ashes, and you're reminded by the sign of the cross and by ashes, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And it's so vivid an image, and you're going to wear that for the rest of the day. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And Job, in the midst of all the calamities, the troubles that are happening around him, Job announces so profoundly, naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return again. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That Job, even in his trials, even when he's feeling like his world is slipping from his grasp, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and blessed be his name. I want to trust in him. Jesus tells his apostles, he says, look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil and how they spin. If your Father cares for these little flowers, how much more will he care for you? What's in the heart of God is that he desires to provide for us, that we would be content with the things that we have, and that above all, we would become rich in what matters to him. St. Augustine said that you become what you love. You become what you love. And if we become in love with perishable things, things of the world, we become little shadows of ourselves. We're not as full as we're called to be. You become what you love. So what matters to God most is that we would become like him. That if we become what we love, that he would be our primary love above all other things. That we would take on the properties of God. That we could love as Jesus loves. We could have compassion as Jesus has compassion. That kindness would abound in our hearts. That we'd be hospitable to those around us. And the essence of all of that is holiness. God desires us to be holy, which means that we would be like him. And that's going to take different expressions in our lives. You husbands and wives, it looks different for you with your responsibilities towards each other, towards your children. Priests, it looks different for me, how it is that I have to care for you, how I have to be available. Monks and nuns, it looks different, that they're devoted to the Lord in prayer and in daily fidelity, showing up for the Lord, offering a consecration and offering of themselves every day. For single people who are still growing into their vocation, asking, what is the Lord calling me to be a student, to grow in friendship, to cast away the old life that St. Paul talks about in today's second reading so that I can put on the new man fashioned in the image of Christ. The desire of my heart is to be rich in what matters to God, and so often that just gets distorted by what the world puts before us as most meaningful, where it is that I get my worth, where it is that I have value. But Jesus reminds us in the gospel, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to forfeit his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? In the midst of this conversation, when the Lord is calling us to shift our eyes from material things to the things of heaven, there's always a conversion that needs to take place. But it's not just me forcing it, white-knuckling, and say, all right, I'm going to start throwing my things away, Father. I hope you're happy. I don't want that for you. What I want you to do is to fall in love with Jesus, to fall in love with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to realize he is the end of all things and that I am dust and to dust I shall return. But that so long as I'm here on earth and in heaven, my life has abundant and profound meaning. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul?